Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And we're continuing on in Alpha and the Omega. We are in faith, so it's time to come and reason together. Grab your Bible and get a cup of coffee. And we are in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. So it says, for by grace you have been saved, and grace is unmerited favor. It's usually that word kara. The root word is kairo. You'll find kairo translated in terms like grace, forgiveness, and joy. And of course, when we get our sins forgiven, we will have great joy. So that word kairo is translated, like I said, it is sometimes translated, a form of it is translated as forgiveness, joy, and grace or graciousness. A person who is gracious is easy to forgive. It's not hard for them to do. I'm looking up that word grace. It is kariti, for by grace, kariti, it's a form of that word kairo. You have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves, not out of yourselves. It is a gift of God. I want to introduce two gifts to you. One is charisma, which is a free gift. This is the Dorian gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a Dorian gift of God. Now, charisma is an absolutely free gift. Dorian gift is strings attached. You'll find this Dorian gift in a place like Acts 2:38 comes readily to mind. And it says, repent and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the Dorian gift of the Holy Spirit. So there are strings attached to get or to receive the Holy Spirit. And the first string is to change your mind. And the next one is to be baptized, of course. But this one, it is, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a Dorian gift. There's strings attached, gift of God. So what is a Dorian gift like? Well, let's say mom and dad tell you to behave and not fight. And when they'll come back, they'll bring you something. Maybe you'll bring in ice cream or something. And you for sure didn't earn that when you're a kid. All you did is just meet a stipulation that they had or meet a requirement. And that requirement was, hey, don't fight while we're gone. Don't pull each other's hair and so on. And we'll bring you a gift when we get back. That is that type. It's still a gift. You did not earn it, but there were strings attached. So mom and dad came home and the lights weren't all broken and the chairs broken down and the house in a mess, they might feel so good that they'll bring you a gift. Anyway, the next place where we find God-given faith is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Actually, the context here is the whole chapter 3. So we're going to read chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult, or this is the word that means violent or fierce times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, and that is without natural family love, that word unloving, storge, without family love, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses. Now, this is always curious to me. The only place that these people could have figured out the names of these two was the Holy Spirit had to show them, because these are the magicians that withstood Moses. And Aaron threw down the rod, and it became a snake. Jannes and Jambres, the magicians, threw down a rod, and they also became a snake. But here it gives their name. It's not given in the book of Exodus. It's one of these quirks of the Bible that if it's not one place, it's another. The Old and the New Testament are absolutely woven together. And I've even been told by people, I just read the book of Samuel. I don't even know why I did it, because it doesn't apply to us. I disagree with that heartily. The whole Bible applies to me. Now, I might not be under the law in the Old Testament, the law of sin and death, but boy, when I read that, it speaks to my heart, and it actually is looking ahead to where we do those things by nature. It actually says that we are to do godly things by nature. It doesn't mean I'm under the law of eating certain meats and so on. Those are actually ordinances. But there's a lot of hidden stories underlying all that. And every part of the Bible is alive. And it shows us when people please God and when people don't please God. And it really gets to the heart of the matter. I'm going to tell you, 1 Samuel is just alive today, or maybe more so because we have the Holy Spirit than it was at that time, or surely as much alive as it was back then. But they will make no further progress for their folly. It says these people, they always learning, but they never come to the truth. As Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men who oppose the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will make no further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly also. Now you follow my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance. Persecution, suffering, such as happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God. Don't get your scissors out and clip out things you don't like to read. Ask God, how do I apply this to my life? I've been reading the Bible 37 years, and every time when I read it, I have to go in and say, God, what do you want me to see today now that I'm reading your word, and how can I keep learning? And I keep learning, and I have to keep changing my mind. Now, I'm not changing my mind on basic things like God requires faith, and faith requires action, and things like this, and I have to change my mind. But on certain details, I'm constantly reading the Bible and looking to see if I'm thinking all right in matters. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So this is the main verse here about faith. God gives faith in that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The Bible teaches faith in Christ Jesus, and that leads a man to salvation. James 2, 17, 14 through 26. It says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith and he has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you don't give them what is necessary for body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that God is one? You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." So if we just have faith in God, that's no better than what demons do. The only thing is that demons cannot do is they cannot do what's good. They can only do what is evil. Absolutely. So it says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Demons also believe and shudder. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? This is James 2. Boy, I tell you, a lot of people like to cut this out of their Bibles. Was not Abraham our father justified by works, by his actions? Ergon is the word for that. It just simply means action. Our word energy comes from that, energia. Was not Abraham our father justified by his energy or works, erg, when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? You see that faith was working with his works, and as a result of works, faith was perfected. And that's the word teleion, and it means it went on to maturity. So our faith actually will grow up, just like we'll have baby faith, then we'll have little child faith, then we'll have little teenage faith, and young man faith, and then fully matured faith. And even a faith like a little mustard seed can still move a mountain. Don't forget that. You see, faith was working with his works, and as a result of works, his faith went on to maturity, perfected, teleion, perfected, went on and grew up. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Oh boy, that is wonderful. God puts his arm around you and said, "This is my friend." Wow. And you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead. Faith without energy, without action, is dead. Did you know faith is found 16 times? The word pietho. Faith is the Greek word. If it's in the verb form, it's pistis. If it's a noun, it's pietho, same word. And it took the translators of the King James Version Bible, about 13 different words to try to convey that word for faith, because it is just so rich and full and wonderful. They sometimes use the word obey in King James Version Bible. And it was still in the original Greek. It is pietho. Sometimes they used yield, that we yield to God, which shows faith. Sometimes it says fully persuaded in their minds. In other words, their minds were convicted or convinced. Having made a friend in one instance. That's an unusual translation for pietho. But boy, it conveys a good thought, I think, or a right thought in it. Faith or believe or trust, things like that. Those kind of words are what the translators deemed that they had to use all those words to try to convey this word pietho in the Greek. So here it's found 16 times. The number for Jesus is 8. So you've got 2 by 8 and you've got 16. And it's all faith, of course, in Jesus Christ. and it requires action. And I will just say, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Hold on to that thought. Hebrews 11:6. Now, this context is 3 through 12. This is the faith chapter. Well, I'll read verses 1 and 2, too. This will be another context. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Now, in the Greek, it's upostasis. Faith is the upostasis of things hoped for. Upo is under, and stasis is to stand. So, faith is a foundation. It stands under things hoped for. And the conviction, it is actually the enlightenment of things not seen. Faith is not blind, just the opposite. Faith gives light to things that are not seen, for by it men of old gained approval. Let me go to my interlinear. I forget what word, I don't know if it's phos for enlightened. Let me just check here real quickly. No, it's not. It's not phos. Elekros, and it is the enlightenment or proof, elekros, of things being seen. So faith enlightens the man. Now we're going to see a bunch of, and here's at least 7 in this context, by faiths. P-I-S-T-E-I, if you're doing it in the English. And it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. In other words, a man must believe in an old word in the Old Testament for creation. There's 3 words for creation in the Hebrew, and we will just deal with the first one, and that is bara. And bara means to make something from nothing. And in the New Testament, it explains it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God bara. He made the elements. He made the chemicals out of nothing. All evolution starts with pre-existing matter. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God made something from nothing. And by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before he is being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Listen to this one. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you want to memorize a verse in the scripture, this is one of my favorites, and it is one of the most important. You must know 2 things. You must know that God is. And that you must also know that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He is the self-existent, life-giving one. He is the creator. And when we believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that seek him, we please him. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. With faith, we please God, and we're called a friend of God, like it said in the last one. God is so pleased, he's pleased to call us his friends and his children. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah did what God told him. It took him 100 years. And in spite of the fact that it wasn't flooding any place, he stayed the course and he built the ark for the salvation of his family. And he did it all by faith. And you see, he had action too, faith and action. Remember, faith without works is dead, being by itself. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Well, that sounds like me sometimes. If you'd ask my wife, where are you going? I don't know. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise, for he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead, at that time as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number and innumerable as the sands which are by the seashore. Oftentimes, Abraham's descendants are known as, they'll be more numerable than the sand which is by the seashore. You know, there's a scripture that says the wise man built his house on the rock, and the foolish man built his house on the sand. Descendants of Abraham, people. Maybe you think, well, I've got to build my house on this Jew over here, or these 12 Jews, or whatever. Now, I'm not talking about the apostles. I'm just talking about men who happen to be Jewish. Well, that could be considered sand. Well, then the wise man, he dug deep, got rid of all the sand, all of man's ideas, and he built his house on the rock. And the rains came and beat on the house, and the winds blew, and that house stood firm because it was founded on a rock. John the Baptizer said he was coming, and the axe is already laid at the tree, the family tree, and Jesus was going to become the vine. And then Jesus in John says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. So this sand, building our house on what Uncle Fred used to believe, or Aunt Jenny, or something like that, those things will fail us, and they shift, the shifting sands. But Jesus is to be the foundation. He is the rock. All these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them. See here, faith is not in a man. It's not in our ancestors. We have the same faith that Abraham did, absolutely. But the faith is the like and kind to Abraham. Our faith is on Jesus Christ. All these died in the faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. And I'll talk to you about that in just a second. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And God says, the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So that is the kingdom. That is the country that a man needs to find today. God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy. And it's in the Holy Spirit. So you need the Holy Spirit to escort you into this new marvelous kingdom, which is here today. And within God's kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is the country that they were looking for. This is God's country, God's kingdom. Next time, we're going to go over, this is God doing this. Man repents, but God gives faith. And now the next step in the Alpha and the Omega will be something that you must do. And we'll go over this when we meet again the next time. And until then, may God lead you into his glorious kingdom.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."